Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Gift of Freedom Blog Talk Internet Radio Show. And I am A. Rebecca Johnson, and we are here today with George Goss and Audrey Moore Goss, and they are the owners of Munchies Cookies. Hello.
Hi, hello. How are you today?
Welcome to the Gift of Freedom.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you on.
So, are you able to hear us well?
Oh, yes, I can hear you very well. Thank you.
Okay. How about me?
Yes, I can hear you both.
Okay.
Fantastic. So we're in Harlem, and we're celebrating the African American Day Parade. Did you get a chance to go by it today?
Actually, no. We're out of Harlem right now. We won't be back for a couple of days.
Okay. All right. Well, just letting you know what's going on in your hometown.
Oh, that's fantastic. Fantastic.
So tell us about Munchies Cookies, which is the name of your company. And I know that they're handmade and homemade vegan cookies.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I don't have any in front of me, so I can't taste them and tell our folks listening what they taste like. But tell us a little bit about how the company got started. What your inspiration was for Munchies Cookies?
Well, my wife and I are professional artists, and we used to travel a lot with our art years ago. And my wife is a vegan also. And it was difficult for us to find places for her to get a snack whenever we were out of town or anything like that. And at that time, vegan products weren't as available as they are today. So one day we were out and she said, you know, I have an idea for an oatmeal cookie. And if you like it, then that can be our family snack. First cookie that came out of the oven, I said, we can sell this. And we started selling it for 2 years along with our art. They always sold out. And then right after, I believe it was 2 years after the World Trade Center, we decided that we were going to turn this into a business. And we've been doing it ever since.
Fantastic. So do you think that your cookies were well received the way they were because you were in the art world?
No, I don't. I don't. I think that one of the good things about the way that we did the shows that we were involved in is that there were so many different types of people with different types of interests. There were a lot of people at these events who were not particularly interested in our art, but they may have been with somebody who was interested in our art. They ended up coming to our space, and, you know, next thing you know, they were buying art and cookies.
Fantastic.
And so it was well received by everybody that came to visit us.
And are you painters?
No, well, we're multimedia artists. We do everything from photography to sculpting.
Fabulous. Is there a place that we can see some of your work, maybe online, or do you have a website or something that you want to?
Well, we don't have our site up now because we're focused on the cookies, but we will eventually have our site back up.
Okay, great. So then we just have to keep following and find out when that is. That's fantastic.
Well,
so tell us a little bit.
Go ahead,
George.
It'll be posted on our Munchies Cookies website, munchiescookies.com.
Okay, so munchiescookies.com. Thank you.
Yes.
And that's M-U-N-C-H-I-E-S, as in Sam.com. Or no, munchiescookies.com. So M-U-N-C-H-I-E-S, cookies.com.
Right.
And so tell us a little bit about your background, Audra.
Well,
are you a native New Yorker? Did you?
Yeah, I was born in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Born in Brooklyn. I lived part of my life in California. Been an artist my whole life. This cookie thing was just something that kind of happened.
And so would you say that living in California impacted you in terms of a vegan lifestyle?
No, not really. I think it was ultimately a part of my personality. It basically was something that I think I should have been from day one, but it wasn't the lifestyle that I was, or the way of life that I was brought up in. It was just a choice I made later on in my life. I've been a vegan for over 20 years.
And how did you get even introduced to the word or the lifestyle of vegan?
Well, I didn't really know much about the word itself. I just knew that I wanted to make a change myself for spiritual and health reasons. Not so much political, but there's a little dash of politics in there now. But mainly for physical and spiritual reasons.
And where did the recipe come from?
Well, it was just something that I created. I just went out one day. I love oatmeal. So I just decided, let me make an oatmeal cookie. I mean, I know it's healthy for you. I love it. And like George said, the first batch that came out of the oven, he said, we could sell this. And I thought he was crazy. I said, we're artists. What are you talking about? And we've been doing it ever since.
Well, I think cooking is like art.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because you're creating
right. There's definitely creativity in.
Yeah, exactly. So, George, tell us a little bit about what it was like. Oh, go ahead, George.
No, go ahead. I'll take your question.
Tell us a little bit about what it was like cooking out of your home in Washington Heights when you first got started.
It was fantastic, actually. It was a wild experience, and I got to tell you, the wild ride hasn't stopped yet. But to be able to go out there and test market your product. And the original idea was to have this product go out as a mom-and-pop shop operation. We wanted to open up a store, a local store in the neighborhood or something like that, and have a great cookie store, neighborhood cookie store. But everywhere we went to try to get opinions on what the about how the product would sell, you know, we went to different store owners and restaurant owners and managers and such, and everybody that I came to test the cookie with asked, you know, where do we get this cookie? Everybody asked the same question. So it turned into a wholesale business before the retail business ever got off the ground. And ultimately, wholesale is the best way to go.
Yeah.
I mean,
because there was a demand for it.
The demand was huge, and we had no idea that it was that big. And not necessarily because it was a vegan cookie, but because it was a great tasting cookie. As a matter of fact, we marketed it as a great tasting cookie that happens to be vegan. So while we were still baking from our home, while Audrey was still turning, you know, dough by hand in a
bowl with a spoon,
it was an amazing sight to see. I wish we had that on video. But to be able to go out there and have all of these orders start coming out of the woodworks, like as soon as we started making this stuff, it was insane, to say the least. As a matter of fact, we actually closed the Whole Foods account in 2007, I think it was, in 2007.
That sounds right.
While we were still mixing in our home. So,
wow.
You know, it's really about having a product that's not only healthy, but that it's fun and it's extremely cross-marketable. If I didn't tell you that it was a vegan cookie, you would never know.
No.
It's just a beautiful, delicious, old-fashioned oatmeal cookie. We make them in over 100 different flavors, and to date we have about 13 different product lines on getting ready to go out. But actually we have two products that are getting ready to go onto the shelves within the next month, 2 months.
And so when you say 100 flavors, is it 100 vegan flavors?
Yeah, we only make vegan products. It's oatmeal cookies, over 100 flavors of oatmeal cookies.
Oh,
we only make oatmeal cookies.
All organic?
They were all organic, yes.
Fantastic.
As a matter of fact, we just became kosher. I think about 2-3 months ago we became kosher.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because I see that you're connected with Zaro's Bakery, and I know they do a lot of kosher baked goods.
Well, actually, we were with Zaro's Bakery when it was time for us to expand 14 months ago. We were in a local shared bakery, and it was really too small to grow. So we had to start looking, because we weren't able to meet demand, we had to start looking for a larger facility. It just so happens that a new distributor that we got suggested that we go to Zaro's, and we were introduced. We went there, and when they tasted the cookie, they felt that it was a good idea for us to actually move our facility into their facility and create this new product that Zaro's would introduce to their audience. It was a good idea, but unfortunately, we manufacture for schools also. So you can't have any wheat and different other types of contamination in the product. There were airborne food contamination issues that we just couldn't solve, and unfortunately, we were there for 5 months before we actually realized that there was no way that we could fix this problem. So now we're in another location in Hunts Point, a wonderful co-packer called Betsy's Place, and we'll be doing all of our production out of there for the Northeast region.
And so Betsy's Place is 100% organic, wheat-free. Is that the case?
In their facility, we're able to control what we prepare and what they prepare.
I see.
It's an easy separation operation,
mm-hmm.
and it works. It works. And mm-hmm. the fact that they're kosher and certified organic, you know, that always helps the situation, because they're already prepared to work with the kind of product line that we have.
Right. So how did
yes.
you get into Whole Foods?
Well, that was interesting. We have a neighbor who said to us, hey, you know, I read in the papers that Whole Foods is going to be interviewing local Brooklyn companies, to bring some local products into the new store that they're opening downtown Brooklyn, in the lower Brooklyn area. And, we're Manhattan manufacturers. Actually, we actually manufacture in the Bronx. But we were able to connect with the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce. We became members that day. The next day they picked us up and drove us out to Jersey to the meeting. It was a 2-day event. The first day we didn't have any cookies. We just talked about them all day long. Then the second day, we found we bought plenty of cookies, and cookie wrappers were all over the hotel. There were a couple of hundred companies trying to get into Whole Foods, and they actually approached us and asked us to come in. So they gave us 15 stores while we were still baking in our home.
Fabulous. So
yes.
How do you think, because I see the Bronx Overall Development, Economic Development Corporation, they were the ones that loaned you a large sum of money for new equipment.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so you're in Mott Haven now?
We're not in Mott Haven. We're in Hunts
okay.
Point.
Hunts Point
mm-hmm.
now. Okay. And
yes.
so...
Yeah, they made it possible for us to actually expand our business and take it to the next level.
And I got to tell you, we're Manhattan-based, and we couldn't get anything in Manhattan.
No funding, no financing.
Nothing. And I mean, we went to everything on 125th Street, and in the 125th Street area, we've been all downtown. We've been everywhere. No financial support from Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
we have the business. We had to go
yeah.
to the Bronx and have a facility in there for them to say, hey, listen, we'll help you out. And
right.
These guys came in and gave us exactly what we needed.
But there's a move in this direction. As you said, when you first started out, vegan cookies were not that popular, right? And so now you
right.
find them everywhere, but I think that there's such a thrust in this area to have more healthy foods in urban communities.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it's fantastic.
That's why we're so proud to have Harlem Children's Zone as one of our customers. Because then we know that it's reaching the children also.
And what other schools?
Well, Harlem Children's Zone actually has 8 locations, and 14 months ago, we stopped selling our products because we were expanding. So we just got back on the market again, and we are actually, we got picked up by a distributor. So the distributors actually distribute our product all over, you know, to the different stores. We don't actually do that work anymore. So when you see them in schools, when you see them in supermarkets in these different places, it's because our distributors are putting them in those locations now.
Okay.
So we would actually put a list of all of the places that you can find the product on our website as we begin to finish developing it. And we would also list the different schools also. And I think that because some of these schools are private, it would be a good idea for us to ask the chef if we could list that before we actually do.
Yes. Okay. And so now I know you had a hard time finding financing, but you did. And what would you tell some other foodies who may have their own artistic creation, whether it's baking or some other type of food? What would you tell them about getting started?
Well, I would say make sure that they know what their market is. Make sure, make sure you know what your target market is, and make sure you know what the cost of your product is going to be so that you know what your expenses are going to be like. And then you need the right kind of branding or trademarks. That's very important so that people can remember your product, keep it simple, and get as much help as you can from someone who has done it or is doing it. We do have a mentor who's been in the business for over 30 years, and we're grateful for that. There are a lot of resources out here. And don't give up. That's number one. Don't give up.
George, did you want to add
yes.
anything to that? Did you want to add
oh.
anything to that?
I actually thought Audrey did a great job, but I can also emphasize the fact that you can't give up. No matter what happens in your situation, you have to keep going no matter what.
Because if you don't have the passion or the drive to see it through, then to be honest, you won't be successful.
And maybe if you don't believe in your product enough, you're not going to develop the passion or drive to make it happen. So that'll be the time that you'll learn it's time to get out of this business and look for something different to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know that you live in a historic apartment building. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. We actually, we live in Washington Heights, but we live on Sugar Hill in 555 Edgecombe Avenue.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about
beautiful
that
place.
Building.
Well, the building is fantastic. One of the things that Origin and I love the most about living there is that there are a lot of people in that building who are just like us, artists and other people like school teachers and people who are interested in things like that, developing minds and things like that. These are the people that actually live in our building. And they come, I mean, you can turn on television one day watching a great movie and you'd see one of our neighbors in the movie having a key part, a key role in some movie. It's just a wonderful place to be around when you have everybody around you thinking the same way that you think. A lot of us live on the love that we have for what we do. And it's just a great feeling.
There's been some historical people living in the building, too. It's another great feeling about being a part of what they call the Triple Nickel. People like Andy Kirk, Paul Robeson, even Cassandra Wilson. So, they just keep funneling through artists, basically, or people in different medias.
Yeah, it makes me think about what you were saying about having the inspiration and the passion for what you're doing. You have to kind of feed that from somewhere, right?
That's right.
That kind of environment that you live in and seeing other people doing things, whether it's, you know, food or art or film or books,
right?
It doesn't really matter. It's just about your own passion.
Exactly.
So you're going to be expanding, right?
Absolutely.
Tell us about your expansion plans.
Well, right now we're looking to go national, and by way of three of the distributors that we're actually making deals with, we have one that we have in place already, and there's two others that we can't put in place for another month or another 2 months until we start getting really revved up. We're looking to start on the Northeast region, back onto the Northeast region again, expand a little further south, and then eventually we expect to get to the West within the next year at the most, absolutely within the next year, and then work our way through the midsection of the country as a process of going into the whole national scene. But we're going to make that happen through national chain stores that we have in place already and others that we're about to get in place.
So how do you, because I'm a vegan as well, and I know one of the things that I like to try to do is even find sugar alternatives. Do you use agave in any of your cookies?
Well, not right now we don't, but it definitely is something that we're working on in terms of developing new products.
Have you tested
it at
all?
And even sugar. Yes, I have actually.
Because
and
it changes the consistency, right?
Yeah, it does. It does. And it doesn't crystallize. So that's another part of its makeup. It can be tricky, but, you stick to it. You just trial and error.
Or use other means of sweetening.
There's lots of them out there.
You know,
like,
you can use raisins.
Figs.
Mm-hmm. Dates are good too, right?
Dates
are good as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
apricots.
So the fruit sugars are really great sugars to use. You know,
mm-hmm.
But the bottom line for us is that we're creating a treat. We're creating a cookie. We're not creating a sit down and eat this as a meal type of product. You know, we want folks to have fun. So if our cookies have evaporated cane juice we don't use honey because we're vegans, but I mean we have a vegan product. But if you use something like a brown sugar or something like that that's not processed, you don't have to flood it with sugar because everything else should make the product taste great. But it's always nice to have a little sprinkle of something sweet in a sweet. In a product that's geared to be
sweet.
It's a snack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. The same thing for me, because honey is from bees, so it's not technically vegan. And so
exactly.
I use agave, but I make treats as well, which I want to trade treats with you one day. And I want some of your little bees,
okay.
And I want to give you some of my treats. And I make I even make a candy, actually, with a little of agave, but I make a truffle, which is dates and almonds and another little secret ingredient. But it's the dates that add the sugar.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Very sweet.
You know, as a matter of fact, we would like to give you an invitation to come to our facility so that you can kind of hang out for a little while and get that vibration. I mean, the thing about Audra and I is that, you know, when we talk about the great things that happen to us, we're not bragging. You know, we're trying to encourage people that these things are attainable.
Yeah.
You know, because if you don't have the example in front of you that'll take you by the hand and say, hey, this is possible, then it's going to take you too many years for real to learn that it is possible. You know, and by the time you get there, it's like, I can't believe I wasted all of this time.
Yeah, and also it would be proper to mention that we wouldn't have gone this far without family and friends' help, people who believed in us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get help, get help.
Well, in these times, I think this is it's a timely message, right? Even this weekend, Senator Gillibrand had a round table about women in business, and she was saying that women have to be given or step up and take leadership roles in business because, you know, women still make 78 cents on a dollar compared to what a man makes.
Yeah.
So having you, Audra, as one of the, you know, CEOs of this company, you can definitely help and inspire, you know, other women by showing them the way.
Sure.
And I think that men in business, certainly men who have their wives or their partners as equal partners in the business, we have a responsibility to stand behind those women in those women environments that are there to help them and say, yeah, this is not just something that, you know, some gathering where you sit around and talk. I'm behind this person because she's an equal partner in my business. She can teach you just as well on how to be successful.
Oh, I just lost you, George.
As we can.
Say that again. I just lost you. Yeah. Just say that again, please.
Well, basically, without having to stretch it out too long, men have to step up behind, even in those woman-run environments, to say, hey, listen, you belong here. And, yes, she belongs here. She's the co-owner of this company, and she has a lot to offer. And we have to respect them as equals rather than as 78 cents on a dollar.
Now, have the two of you ever spoken at any entrepreneurial seminars or, some sort of...
You know, there's plenty of them out there for us to be a part of, but in all honesty, we can't give that our time right now. That time is coming shortly. And that's a part of why we produce our cookies the way we do now. Audra and I have to be away from the physical manufacturing part of our product. We have to be able to be at the forefront of our product on the marketing side now and let other people produce it for us, people who still are responsible for getting it right, but people who can also allow us to position ourselves so that we can grow this business in the direction that we really wanted to grow.
Yeah. Well, I'm really
happy. We have been presented with certain environments where we, had to say a few words, and we've even taught some classes.
That's true.
And I've always thought it was important for everyone to know that we were a couple and we were co-owners, especially as Black people, because I think that's so important to give younger people an idea of what they could achieve if they stick together, if they work together with their partners, with their mates.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really
and
happy.
Audra and I have been together for, we're going on 15 years. And if you can, if anybody sees, takes a look at our pictures that I think you guys have on your site, you wouldn't think that we've been together for 15 years. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't look like a 15-year-old couple. You know, we truly enjoy each other's company. We feel strange without each other. And because we have that kind of relationship, you get 100% of me and 100% of her that go into this business. So you got 200% going into a business rather than the 100% that we're accustomed to thinking is the highest thing that you can put into whatever you're doing. Put in 200%.
Yeah. Well, I'm really happy that there is a vegan cookie company owned by an African-American husband and wife team, number one. That is really, really exciting. Your story, basically, that, you know, a situation that could have meant failure for you, where you were able to turn it around and, you know, start this company at a time when, you know, I know it was partly as a result of September 11th. So that is just a great inspirational story, because a lot of people are kind of in that place right now. They're losing jobs and they're trying to figure out what their next move is going to be. And so to see two people like yourselves who have, you know, taken something that, you know, Audra, you were passionate about, a cookie.
Yes.
And taken that and what it is today, and now you're looking to expand on a national level, I just applaud you for that. So thank you so much. Tell us about your contact information, please, for anybody who might want to get in touch with you.
Okay, you can actually call us at our home office. It's 212-568-3167. Or you can get us, the best way to get us is online at
Eden Naturals. Eden Naturals with an S. At att.net.
So,
can you spell that out for us?
Let me spell that. EDINNATURALS at att.net.
So it's Eden with an I and not an E.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
And it's not a cap, just for. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, I was moving on, so if you have something else to say about the contact information, please do, and then I was going to ask you another question.
Oh, okay, I was just going to say the best way to contact us is through the email, because we answer those every day.
Yes.
The home-based phone number, we get to that probably once a week, and, you know, we like to get to people as fast as we can.
Okay, thank you. So mm-hmm. if I'm going to go and purchase some Munchies cookies,
yes.
Where would I go to do that in New York?
Well, soon you'll be able to go back to places like Whole Foods. You can go to the Whole Foods Bakery or the Whole Foods Coffee Shop, and we're all over the place in those two locations. Let's see. There's a lot of local stores throughout New York, cafes.
We actually have the list on our website. We're still working on it.
Okay.
Yes,
so you have a list on your site where the cookies are available.
Exactly.
Yes.
In the various boroughs, like Brooklyn. They're available in Brooklyn.
Right. We're all over New York.
Okay.
New Jersey and
right,
Connecticut.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Great. Well,
right.
I look forward to tasting some of your cookies. I also look forward to coming out to your manufacturing plant.
Yes. Well, we'll give you another number when you get off the phone here.
Okay.
And we'll
okay.
make sure that you contact us and we'll hook something up.
Okay.
We'll be glad to have you by.
Okay. Well, for the Gist of Freedom, this is Rebecca Johnson with George and Audra Goss, and we thank you so much of Munchies Cookies, and please go out there and try their cookies, and then you can email them or give them a call and find out more about the Bronx Overall Economic Development Corporation, and how you, too, can get your business started. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.